No one is immune to suffering. No lifespan can ever be lived without moments of troubled times. And Paul, for certain, is no stranger to physical suffering. Here in chapter 12, look over to chapter 11, and let's just be reminded of some of the suffering that he had even recently went through prior to coming to Corinth. Look at chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, except one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? And Paul is no stranger to suffering. As a matter of fact, if you'll remember in our study, the entire book of 2 Corinthians focuses on the personal pain and suffering Paul experienced with his ministry to the church at Corinth particularly. And I don't know if there is a passage of Scripture that more adequately and powerfully reveals God's purposes for pain and suffering than the text that is before us today, the one in which Paul references his thorn in the flesh. And there's a few things as way of introduction that I want you to notice with me. And I even put these major bullets there in your notes so that you could identify them and understand them as what is given to us here in these 10 verses of chapter 12. The first thing that's important to notice is that Paul's specific pain and hardship that he references here in chapter 12 is identified as a thorn. Look at it in verse number 7. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. This word thorn means a stake. It is indicating an intense suffering, as if a stake was driven in the flesh, driven in the soul. There's great pain, great hardship. This is no small prick of the finger. This is a stake being rammed into the body. This was no small thing. And so Paul says this pain, this hardship, this suffering that's been inflicted upon me, it's like a thorn that's been embedded deep into my flesh. Paul's thorn here appears to be the demonic work of false teachers and rebels in the church. You say, well, where do you get that from? Because many debate what this thorn would be. That's a lifelong question that's often been asked by Bible students and scholars alike. What is this thorn? What was it that was given to Paul that was such a deep struggle for him? Some think that this was a general physical ailment. Some believe that it was poor vision. We get that from many times in his letters. He talks about writing such a large letter, even though they were short in number, large letter, indicating that he had to write with a big handwriting so that he could see it for himself. And so some would even believe, well, maybe he had a bad eyesight. Maybe it was his speech impediments that he's already referenced in chapter 10. And as they in Corinth accused him of being an unlearned and unskilled speaker. I personally believe that verse number 7 tells us exactly what his thorn in the flesh was. Because in verse number 11, he says that he received a thorn in the flesh, which was identified as a messenger of Satan. Look at it in verse 7. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That word buffet means to torment me. So Paul is saying, I received this thorn. It's intense pain. It's like a stake that's been embedded into my flesh. And this thorn in the flesh was a messenger come from Satan for the purpose of tormenting my soul. So in my opinion, it seems to me that this messenger was not only sent by Satan, it was controlled by Satan to torment, particularly here, Paul's ministry. And I think this would be consistent with the book of 2 Corinthians, particularly the last two chapters, chapter 10 and 11. Chapter 10 and verse number 1, we see that rebels were attempting to discredit Paul's authority. This was that which Paul identified as the spiritual warfare that he was involved in Corinth. In verse 2 of that same chapter, rebels were accusing him of being worldly and unspiritual. In verse 7 of chapter 10, rebels question his true identity as a Christian. In verse 12, they devalued his spirituality because Paul didn't meet their standard of criteria by which a spiritual person in their minds ought to have lived. In verse 6 of chapter 11, these false teachers and rebels, they insulted his speaking abilities, calling him unrefined and unskilled. In verse 11 of chapter 11, they insinuated the church that Paul really didn't love them. In verse 16 of chapter 11, they belittled the importance and the effectiveness of his ministry. And so when you look at chapter 10 and chapter 11 and these rebels and these false teachers that were attacking him, they were attacking the church, they were trying to discredit his leadership, they were trying to blindly take people away from the teaching of the Bible, it makes absolute sense to me that when you get to chapter 12 that he says, hey, I have this thorn, it's a messenger of Satan and it's been existing in my life to torment my ministry. And here's the most surprising part of it, and that is this thorn was given to him, and it was given to him by God. Look at it in verse number 7. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So this thorn, this hardship, this pain, it was like a stake embedded into his soul, ripping the flesh apart figuratively. It was a messenger, someone that was coming and attacking Paul and his ministry. They've been doing it for so long, and now they were just simply tormenting him. And the head scratcher, well, God was the one that allowed it. Now, that shouldn't surprise us too much, because we've seen in other instances in the Bible where God has permitted Satan to afflict servants of God. One of the most obvious in the Old Testament was Job, a man who was upright, a man who was doing everything that God asked him to do. Satan comes before God and says, hey, how about your servant Job? And God allowed Satan to attack Job. And God allowed this pain to come into Paul's life. God allowed this suffering to be inflicted by Satan. God gave Paul a thorn. And he gave it to him for his divine purposes. And the question we must ask is why? Why? Why in the world would God allow so much pain and hardship and suffering to come into the life of his servants? Why did God give Paul this messenger of Satan? Why did God allow this thorn to torment his life? I said a moment ago, no one is immune to suffering. No lifespan can ever be lived without moments of troubled times, moments where we all experience thorns. So why does God give them to us? Why does God give us thorns? And that's the question I want to attempt to answer this morning as we look at these 10 verses. Why does God give us thorns? Number one, we see that in this text, God gives us thorns to, first of all, reveal the truest condition of our spiritual character. to reveal the truest condition of our spiritual character. In verses 1 through 6, we see that Paul faces a temptation here, and he says in verse number 5, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. I will not glory. I will not glory in me, but in mine infirmities. And here's the thing that I want you to think about before we tear all of this apart, and that is this. When adversity strikes, it reveals what is already in the heart. When adversity strikes, it reveals what's already in the heart. Sometimes we say things like, suffering will make or break you. No, suffering just reveals what's already in you. When adversity comes into your life, when thorns are inflicted in your life, how you and I respond to that is not something we choose in that moment. It's something that is already within us. Thorns have a way of revealing where we really stand with God. They have a way of revealing our true condition with the Lord and what our spiritual character really is. And one of the purposes of God allowing this thorn to come into Paul's life was to reveal the genuine integrity that the rebels had called into question in front of his entire church. And so Paul said, listen, God said, I'm going to allow Satan to torment you, to inflict a thorn in your life, because I want to prove to the church at Corinth that you are not who they say you are, that you are a man of God and you are a faithful follower of the Lord. And so he allowed this thorn and he allowed this pain and hardship to come into his life so that it could reveal the type of man that he really was. And in verses 1 through 6, we see an interesting little story here. The Greeks believed that those who truly represented gods would experience some mystical visions. And so what these rebels did is they were boasting about their visions and their revelations. Now, obviously here, Paul experienced visions himself, but he knew that it was not his role to boast of these visions with the church. For one, visions and revelations are not verifiable. Even if I stood up here before you today and say, God gave me a revelation to tell you this, and that is, you all need to take me to the Cheesecake Factory for lunch today. That's not verifiable. How are we to believe that really came from God? And that was one of the reasons why Paul never talked about his visions. And he never mentioned his revelations, because they're not verifiable. Not only that, visions and revelations are to be held to the level of, or not to be held to the level of recorded truth. This is our revelation from God. This is our vision from God. But often these false teachers and rebels would take their visions and their rebels, here's what God's told me to do, and they would elevate it to recorded truth. And that, my friend, is a dangerous, dangerous proposition. And then these visions and revelations, they lead to great pride. And you start talking about all your visions that God gives you and all these revelations that God gives you, you start thinking a little higher of yourself than you ought to think. And so these false teachers, these rebels, were walking around not talking about the Bible. They were talking about their visions. They were talking about their revelations. And Paul's response to their constant nagging at him to glory in his spiritual experiences was to simply say, hey, I will only glory in mine infirmities or my weaknesses. In other words, I choose only to glory in that which clearly identifies me as a genuine man of God. And that's why I said, yet of myself I will not glory. I choose only to glory in mine infirmities. And this response from Paul's thorn, it revealed the condition of his true spiritual character. And that was, he was a man of integrity with God. And he was a man of faithfulness to the word of God, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of pain. He stayed true to God's word, and he stayed true to godly integrity. And I wonder, oftentimes in your life and in my life, when we experience pain, when we experience hardships, when God gives us a thorn, what does that thorn reveal about us? What does it reveal? Paul experienced this temptation, this hardship, this thorn. It would have been so easy. It would have been so easy to give in to the criticism of the rebels and just do what they were doing. But he said, no, that's not who God made me to be. That's not who God wants me to be. I'm going to stay true to God and I'm going to stay true to his word. If I glory in anything, I'm going to glory in my sufferings, the infirmities that God has brought into my life. It opened up his heart. It allowed us to look in and to see the true condition of his spiritual character. And never in any other circumstance of life does a person's true spiritual character become revealed until they go through suffering. Because it's easy to be faithful to God when everything's good. It's easy to read your Bible when there's no thorns. It's easier to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when the doors are open, I'm there. You know, that's easy to do when there's no turmoil. But the moment a thorn comes in your life, the moment your finances begin to struggle, the moment this health news that you weren't expecting, the moment the tension rises up in your marriage, God allows those things to happen to reveal who you really are. Because in moments of pain and hardship and suffering, if we're where we're supposed to be with God, we'll run to him. We won't run away from him. We'll choose to glory in the things that God is doing in our lives. We'll choose to follow him. And that's what God often does. He's allowing you to suffer. He's allowing me to go through some hardships so that we can take a good look in the mirror and see who we really are. Not who we think we are. Not what other people say that we are. But take a good look and say, you know what? This pain you're going through, it's telling everybody, even yourself, who you really are. Look at you. You can't even stay faithful. This is God speaking. You can't even tell me you love me. You won't even walk with me in your word. And every one of us are going to go through hardships. Every single one of us are going to face moments of pain. And it's God's way of showing us where we are and where we need to be. Why does God allow thorns? He does it to reveal the truest condition of our spiritual character. Number two, God allows thorns to humble us, lest we think too highly of ourselves. I was looking over the notes, and the notes there says, let we think. It should be lest, all right? Lest we think. Lest we think too highly of ourselves. Look at verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Inside the mind of every person is the temptation to become prideful. Inside of all of us. There's not a person in this room, including myself, that does not face the temptation from time to time to think a little higher than I ought to think of myself. And Paul, who is the greatest Christian who's ever lived, was even susceptible himself to thoughts of pride and arrogance. Because pride is a constant temptation. And this was such a big issue that twice the Holy Spirit tells us that one of the purposes of Paul's thorn was to keep him from being exalted above measure. He says it at the beginning of the verse, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says it again at the end of the verse, lest I should be exalted above measure. Twice he reminds us, God gave me this thorn. God's allowing me to have a hard time. He's permitting me to suffer because he doesn't want me to think higher of myself than I ought to think. It's just like any one of us. Had Paul experienced his life without hardship, without suffering, without pain, it would have been extremely easy for his ministry to point people to himself rather than to Christ. After all, he does give us a brief glimpse in verses 1 through 6 of the fact that he had had visions just like these false teachers and rebels said they had had visions. And I think for a moment here in verse 7, Paul is saying, hey, I was tempted in that moment. I was tempted to show up every one of those rebels. I was tempted to shut them all up, to tell them about my visions and my revelations, which really were from God. But no, God gave me a thorn to keep me from doing that. God allowed me some painful experiences to keep me from thinking too highly of myself. And that's sometimes why God allows us to suffer. He gives us thorns to keep us humble. Thorns are a reminder of our frailties. Thorns are a reminder of our inabilities. Without thorns, we would think ourselves to be invincible. But God gives us weaknesses. And God gives us pain. And God gives us hardships. And God allows us to have trouble. God gives us thorns to remind us that we're not invincible. And this thorn that may have popped up in your life today, this trouble that you're experiencing, this hardship you're going through, it could be God's way of saying, you know what, there's just a little too much pride in your life. And I'm allowing the suffering to get this pride out of your life. Why does God give us thorns? I'm trying to help you today. We all need to take self-examination of why we're going through the hardships and the pains that we are. Is it because God wants to tell me something about my true spiritual condition? Is there some adjustments that I need to make in my life? Is it because I'm too prideful that I think higher of myself than I ought to think? Is this why God's allowing the pain? Is this why God's put a thorn in my life? Number three, why does God allow thorns? Verse 8 tells us to draw us closer to God. God allows thorns to draw us closer to God. This thorn that came into Paul's life was a means for God to bring Paul closer to himself. Look at it in verse number 8. He said, for this thing, what thing? The thorn. For this thorn I besought the Lord thrice. Three times. Paul said, I besought the Lord, I begged, I pleaded. He's saying here, I prayed. This pain that came into Paul's life, this trouble that he experienced, it brought him to his knees. Three times he pleaded. Three times in persistent prayer, he asked God to remove this thorn. That word besought is such an important word. Look at it in verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord. I besought the Lord. It's not some sitting down around the dinner table, oh Lord, bless our food. By the way, help me to get over this pain. No, I mean, he's setting aside time to pray. This is more than prayer around the dinner table. This is more than prayer before I go to sleep. I mean, I'm getting alone with God, and I'm fasting, and I'm praying, and I'm pleading with tears in my eyes. I'm begging God, God, please take away this thorn. Please remove this trouble. Please relieve the pain that's in my life. I think it's very fascinating. The result of hardship and pain, it brought Paul to his knees. And you've heard me say it before, prayer is not learned in the classroom the same way it's learned in the emergency room. I can teach you about prayer until I don't have any more material left. And some of you still wouldn't learn how to pray. Sometimes God has to teach you how to pray through thorns. You've heard all the lectures. You've read all the verses. You know you need to pray. You know you need to seek God. You know you need to come to that prayer service and pray together. But you're not listening. And God says, you know what? I'm going to have to bring some hardship. I'm going to have to inflict some pain. I'm going to have to give you a thorn to teach you to walk with me. I don't think it's necessarily wrong to do this, but I often ask God not to have to teach me that lesson. I want to be so close to Him that He doesn't feel like He has to give me anything more to get me any closer. Only God knows that. But I'm here to tell you something today, that if you're hurting, if you're experiencing some pain, if you've got a thorn, one of the purposes for that is to get you closer to God, to cause you to fall on your knees in prayer. Listen, the most blessed place a believer can ever be in the midst of his pain is near the Lord. Think about Jesus. In the most intense moments of his suffering in Gethsemane, what did Jesus do? He drew near to the Father. I don't have time to take you there. Maybe you'd write down the text, Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 44. It's fascinating. Because how many times did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? 3 times. What was he praying about? He was praying about suffering. What was he asking the Father to do? To take it away. If there be any other way, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I wonder if Paul thought about the Lord as he experienced this pain. 3 times, just like Jesus. Asking God to remove the suffering, just like Jesus. Even the Son of God drew close to the Father in moments of deep pain. You see, when thorns come into my life and your life, there are several ways in which we often respond. Many become bitter toward God. Some give up and turn away from God. Others attempt to remove the pain using their own strength and power without relying and depending upon God. But those who draw close to God in prayer and dependence upon Him will begin to understand the thorn and the purpose for which God gave it. How about this thorn in your life this morning? Are you allowing this thorn to draw you closer to God? Or are you pushing away from Him? God did not give you a thorn for you to push away from Him. God gave you a thorn for you to draw close to Him. Pain, suffering, hardship. Why does God do it? To reveal who we really are so we can grow and become more like Him. To humble us so that we don't think too highly of ourselves. Without thorns, we would never have problems. Without pain, we would think ourselves invincible. It's actually quite a different theology from all the health, wealth, and prosperity preachers of our day, who say that if you really love Jesus, you'll never have heartache. If you are faithful to Jesus, you'll never have thorns. It's quite the opposite, because God clearly gave a thorn to a faithful man of God to humble us, to draw us closer to Him. Number 4, why does God give us thorns? To help us find our sufficiency in Him. To help us find our sufficiency in Him. The truth is this morning, God may never remove the thorn in your life. I'd love to be able to stand up here and tell you that if you do this, this, and that, God will remove it. I can't tell you that. Even after Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, is there any other way? He had to respond to God by saying, not my will, but thy will. He still had to suffer. And it appears in Paul's current situation that God was no hurry to remove the thorn at this particular moment either. I can't tell you that God's ever going to remove this trouble, suffering, and pain you're going through right now. And here's the thing that you need to understand. Though God did not remove Paul's pain, that doesn't mean he didn't answer Paul's prayer. Three times Paul asked God to remove it. Well, if he didn't remove it, he sure wasted his time, no. The answer to Paul's prayer was not the removal of the thorn. The answer to Paul's prayer was grace to live with the thorn. God gave Paul his grace. Look at it, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. God may not remove this thorn that's in your life. You may go to your grave with the trouble and suffering that you're facing today. You may. You may not, but you may. But that doesn't mean God doesn't care. And it doesn't mean God doesn't have an answer for you. Because he has grace. And Paul begged God to remove the thorn three times. Remove the thorn. Remove the thorn. Remove the thorn. Maybe his prayer was, God, take them out of the church. Get them out of my ministry. I'm tired of the torment. I'm tired of the constant nagging. I'm tired of the criticism. God, please move them to another church. Move them out of this ministry. I can't take this anymore. And God says, I can't do that, Paul. But why? Then don't you see the trouble? God says, I see the trouble. Paul says, don't you understand the pain? God says, I know the pain. Paul says, God, I just can't take it anymore. And God says, yes, you can. Because though I'm not going to remove them from your church, I'm going to give you the grace to live with them. Because my grace is sufficient for thee. Grace. This grace that transforms us as we put faith in Christ. There is grace that sanctifies us as we grow in his word. There is grace that sustains us as we endure the sufferings of life. And there's no question here. Satan indeed had brought a message of pain, but God had brought a message of grace. And it was this grace that was sufficient. That word sufficient is so important. It means it was enough. It was adequate. It was all that Paul needed to help him with this thorn. Paul, I can't take it away, but I'm going to give you something that's sufficient. I'm going to give you everything you need to live with it, to endure it, and to deal with it. And that's how God wants to respond to you and me today. Grace is God's sufficient provision for everything that we need in every circumstance of life. He may not take it away. He may not give you a new job. He may not heal this suffering in your life. But he will always give you grace to make it through the thorn. Grace. For Paul, that meant God's grace was sufficient to meet the deepest pain that this thorn had caused him to experience. And whatever deep pain you're experiencing today, God's grace is enough. It's everything you need. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we need to come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, grace to help, grace to help in time of need. I've never looked at this verse the way that I've looked at it this week. Grace to help, grace to help. I used to think that meant come before the throne of grace and God will give you grace to remove, grace to remove. Grace to remove the suffering. Grace to remove the pain. Grace to remove the thorn. God didn't say, come to my throne and I'll give you grace to remove it. He said, come to my throne and I'll give you grace to help you get through it. Grace. There's an important lesson here. God's grace is enough. God's grace is enough. It's sufficient for your pain. It's adequate for your suffering. It's everything you need for all this hardship that you're going through. As pastor, I would like to have an explanation for this thorn. Well, you're probably not going to get one. Paul never got an explanation. Never. He just got a promise. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. But why? My grace is sufficient. How? My grace is sufficient. When? My grace is sufficient. And oftentimes we ask God to remove our thorns. When God's plan is just to help us through our thorns. Listen to me. God doesn't always protect us from our problems, but he always protects us in our problems. It's going to help some of us to learn that. He'll not always protect us from, but he'll always protect us in. Why? Because his grace is sufficient. Is thorn in your life today? If for anything at all is to teach you that God is all you need. That his grace is sufficient. That in the deepest infliction of pain this thorn may bring you, God's grace is enough. Why thorns? Let me give you this last one and we'll be finished. Why does God give us thorns? Number five, to display the power of God in the weakness of man. God gives us thorns to display the power of God through the weakness of man. Have you ever thought about the idea that your thorn may be the key to your usefulness to God? Think about it. Your thorn may be the key to your usefulness to God. It is often when we are out of answers and out of confidence, even strength, with nowhere to turn but God, that we become the most effective for the Lord. Because when we have answers and confidence and strength of our own, it seems like we don't need God. We can do this ourselves. We can counsel ourselves out of this. Why pray? Why read my Bible? Why seek help from God? I can do this. But when thorns come into our life, they flush out the impurities of our sinful flesh. And when that happens, it makes us vessels by which the power of God can flow through. And Paul says here in verse number 9, God, tells Paul that not only was his grace sufficient for Paul's pain, but his strength would be evident in Paul's weaknesses. Look at it. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. My strength is made complete. My strength is made whole. My strength is everything you need in the midst of your weaknesses. And I appreciate Paul's response here, because he commits himself to not complain about the thorn. And that's a hard one. Because some of us may come to this point today and we're like, okay, I get it. He wants to humble me. He wants me to pray. I get all that. He wants me to be in church more, read my Bible more. I understand that's why he's doing it. But I don't like it. And I'm going to let everybody know I don't like this thorn. Paul never complained about the thorn. He chose to glory in the pain that God allowed, knowing that God had given him this so that his power would be on display. Look at it, verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, God's grace and strength is not given for us to simply endure the pains and struggles of life. God's grace and God's strength is to help us rise above the pains and struggles of life. To rise above the thorns in the power of God. Certainly, Paul prayed, Lord, remove it, remove it, remove it. But once he understood that God wasn't going to remove it, no complaining, no bad mouthing, no bickering God, no running away from God. I'm going to make a choice, and that is I'm going to let the power of God flow through my life, even though I'm weak and suffering pain and going through hardship. Look at verse 10. Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Notice this. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong. The weaker I get, Paul says, the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Why complain? I'll glory in the infirmities. I'll be thankful for the thorns. Because this thorn, this is God's way to help me be more useful, more fruitful, more beneficial to the cause of Christ and the edification of the body of Jesus. Weaker I get, Paul says, the stronger I become. And this thorn that exists in your life today, it is to display the power of God through your weaknesses. I thought about Kirby Campbell this week as I was putting together this message. Friend of our ministry, pastor who went in for a routine knee surgery and anesthesiologist messed up on the epidural several times, giving him a lifelong disease that's incurable called arachnoiditis. He's preached here before. Many of you who've been here have watched him get in the pulpit and grimace in pain while he preaches. Not standing still, just constantly going back because every nerve in his body is in excruciating pain. Kirby and I have prayed together many times. And it's been amazing to me how that he has chosen to glory in the thorn and God has used his life in greater ways because the weaker he got, the stronger he became. Thorns. I think the proper perspective of trouble, pain, and suffering is foundational to our relationship with God. Because if you're not careful, you're going to let some book, some preacher, some guy on television tell you that Christians don't suffer. That if you're living right, you're not going to have pain and hardship and trouble. No, this is foundational. We need to expect it, just like everyone else. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody goes through suffering. Everybody has hardships. Everyone experiences trouble. And sometimes God gives it to you. Sometimes it's of our own stupid choices, to be honest. But sometimes it's God's way of teaching us some lessons. Why is this thorn in your life today? To reveal the truest condition of your spiritual character. To humble you. Lest you start thinking a little highly of yourself than you ought to think. To draw you closer to God. To help you understand that God is all you need. He is enough. He is your sufficiency. No matter how this thorn turns out, God is trying to teach you something. I have always been there for you. I will always be there for you. I'm enough. And it's to display the power of God through your weaknesses. That though you may have a thorn that has crippled you or impaired you, God says, that means nothing to me. Sometimes that crippling, that impairment is what I need to make you more useful for me. So what do? I think it's obviously appropriate to pray that God removes it. Paul did three times. Jesus did three times. Sure, pray all you want to that God removes this thorn in your life. But while you're praying for him to remove it, also embrace it if that's not his will. Embrace it. Saying, God, I'm going to allow you to use this thorn how you've divinely designed it for my life. Knowing that your grace is going to help me every step of the way.